My brother.
Yo, what's good, man?
What's going on, man?
Enjoying life.
Yeah, man.
Enjoying life,
That's a
man.
fact.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Today's my motherfucking birthday.
Happy birthday, my nigga.
Thank you, man. I turn.
12.
If I shave off all my facial hair, I'd dead ass be like 16. That's the. I ain't gonna lie. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that because I know that when I'm turning 40,
You're gonna look like 20.
I could look 25. I could just shave off a couple
Yeah.
strands of hair and I'm good. But
Bagging 18-year-olds on your R. Kelly shit.
maybe. I turned 26 today. 26. I ain't gonna lie. I know 26 is not old considering, our aunts, uncles,
Yeah.
parents and shit. But I feel old though.
You live past Biggie and Pac. When I think about it that way, I'm like, damn, them niggas was legendary at our
Yeah, they
age.
was mad young. Yeah, shit crazy, man. I feel old as shit. I feel like I should be going to sleep at 9 o'clock, eating cheese and crackers, watching Golden Girls.
Well, you already watched Golden Girls.
I haven't watched it in a while. I'm about to start again though.
That's crazy. You used to
Family
watch that shit when you
House.
was fucking.
Yeah, like 14, 12, all that type of
That's
shit.
ridiculous.
I love Golden Girls. But yeah,
What do you used
man.
to get out of that though? It's three,
Nah.
four old white women.
It's
I
funny.
was gonna say bitches, but I'm a reformed man now.
Yeah. Nah, they funny. They funny though.
The grandma, the
Oldest
old
one.
one. Yeah, I used to like
Mad funny.
her
Yeah,
mannerisms
she
and
was
shit.
raw.
Cause my mom used. She's raw.
She's raw with her shit.
Oh, okay.
Straight raw.
And it's crazy how all of them died out, and Betty White, the last one,
Yo, Betty
kicked
White
out.
was cool too.
I like
Yeah.
Betty White.
Yeah, she kind of slow though in the show.
If any racist shit come out with her, I ain't gonna fuck with her no more. But I like Betty White. Like I even checked out her very first sitcom from the 50s. She was acting like damn near all her life. She was pretty. She was nice when
Yeah,
she
she's
was
still
young.
pretty.
The fuck out
I
of here.
still bag it. What you talking about, nigga?
She might
That's Betty
turn
White.
into dust soon as I put it in. Expired.
Where you go? But nah, I ain't gonna front. This week prior and this current week, I don't know, I just been thinking about, I mean, I always think about life. Anyone that follows me on Instagram, I always post, like, I always have these thoughts in my head that I gotta get off
Yeah.
before I forget it and then it never pops up again to like
Yeah.
whatever time. So I always write, like, I always have like a black picture with white words and I always just, like, a little tangent of just a random topic, me just going off. And I just been thinking about just life a lot. And I was thinking about this topic yesterday about just, like, everything you go through life, like shit that you're gonna go through, like it's not expected. Like shit's gonna hit you regardless. You never know when something's gonna happen to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about, like, since like the very youngest age you had like a conscious thought when like you knew you were doing something, probably like what, year and a half. Ever since that age, you've had to adjust in some way to something damn near every day, every week of your life.
Yeah, I agree.
And that shit is crazy. And I was thinking about just like everything as far as like you get a new job, you gotta adjust to the new money you make now, you gotta adjust to the new people in the environment, your route to work, new trains you gotta take,
Yeah.
you get a girlfriend, a boyfriend, you can't do the same things, you're gonna be held accountable for things you say because it may hurt their feelings now. You
Yeah.
maybe you can't, you may have to spend more money now. You move to a new school, you gotta meet new friends, you know what I'm saying? Your locker is now on a floor below yours now, down the hall, instead of it being close. It's so much you gotta adjust to, but I feel like that's where people fall short. Because my perspective on life is, this is my opinion. I feel like life is about not what happens to you, but how you react to what happened to you. Because a lot of folks go through the same shit, but then it's how you react that's going to determine your outcome down the line. Like, for example, let's say me and you have the same job, right? We're working at Pornhub, right? Just
Yeah.
for example, right?
As actors or like executives?
Both. I'm
Okay.
both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't be both.
I'm both.
Okay.
But yeah, so let's say for whatever reason, for whatever reason, you get fucked. We both get fired. You get fired, and you go into panic mode. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, shit, I just lost my job. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. You're not really looking for solutions. You just in panic mode, like, shit, what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
And then I get fired that same week, same day, and I immediately go into hustle mode.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking for solutions, looking for new outcomes, looking for new incomes and new jobs. Depending on whoever reacts in a timely manner, in a positive manner, that's going to determine how fast you bounce back from that situation.
Yeah, doors and, opening up.
Like, yep, doors and that's how I feel like a lot of people fall short in life. I mean, and it's okay because, like, not everybody is going to, you know, not everybody's going to have, like...
that mindset.
Yeah, like, this strong mindset where nothing affects them too much. Things are going to affect you, but... I feel like people fall short when it comes to like depression and anxiety is when things happen to them and it affects them a lot. And then they don't know how to like recalibrate like their mental, their emotions. And then shit just goes downhill.
I agree. It's just like the glass of milk, like the half full and half empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, We've been told this like philosophical analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been taught about it since we were young, but nobody never really broke it down to us. Nobody really ever explained it, you know, got into it extensively. You see what I'm saying? But yeah, I agree. It's like the same thing. I was looking at it in your scenario. I was looking at it half empty before and after I got fired. That's why I couldn't bounce back as quick.
Yeah.
And while you was being the optimistic one, looking at it, you know, half full. In addition to it, looking at it half full, it's like, what else can I do to fill the whole glass up?
Yeah.
And that's where contingencies come in. Like, people get... like a certain position, or they get to a certain point in life, whereas they become complacent and they do not consider the contingencies. So when, you know, the rough time comes around, they don't know what the hell to do because they were so comfortable in this spot. That's your comfort zone. Now you're being thrown out of that zone. It's like, damn, shit. Like, what can I do?
Yeah.
And that's good. That's just gonna stem like laziness. It's gonna stem depression. Anxiety,
worries.
Yeah,
it's
not gonna not a lot of fruitful attributes will come from that.
Yeah,
and that mindset.
And that's why it's good to like read books and like surround yourself with people that are doing better than you or
as ambitious as you.
Yeah, and folks that could teach you things. You know what I'm saying? It's good to like travel because you experience more. All these things is gonna add to like your mindset and like what you believe you can do when things happen to you. Like, it builds your confidence and whatnot.
Mm.
Because without those things, like, regardless of what you think, like, it don't matter how perfect your life may seem right now, something is going to happen that's going to shake your world, and you most likely ain't going to be prepared for it, no matter how much you think you are prepared for it. But if you have that mindset that, like you said, you have like an optimistic mindset, and you don't fall under pressure and you don't panic,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Things going to smooth itself out. And like, I'm 26 years old now, and I still don't have life figured out. Like, and I don't think I ever will have life completely figured out. I don't think anyone has life completely figured out.
Yeah,
and that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people get anxiety from that. A lot of people, and I go in front, I have those thoughts too. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm like, damn, I'm getting older and I don't have this, I don't have that. That's kind of normal to have because, like, in a world where, like, you seeing other people's journeys constantly, in your mind, it may seem like you're not doing enough, but that's not true.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of people that don't have half as much what you have. You know what I'm saying? They can't even aspire to even reach the point that you think is nothing right now. You know what I'm saying? And I try to keep that in my head at all times. Like, just to keep me grounded. Like, before I fucking lose my mind. Because like I said, this world is crazy. Like, some shit's going to happen damn near every day. You got to see some shit online. You got to adjust your emotions to seeing people getting killed. You got to adjust your emotions to, let's say you lose your job. Your aunt may have passed. You may have just got news that you have lost diabetes. You lost your... It's all so much stuff, things that you have to adjust your mental. You got to rebalance your emotions. Like, and it could get overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I said it's good to practice those things. Be around people that are ambitious and people that are just spewing like positive energy and shit.
Another thing to another very important thing to practice too is meditation.
Yeah.
Because meditation is basically not only is it you exploring yourself, but you're also exploring the metaphysical world in a sense. It's you projecting your spirit to do and to dwell on certain planes before your physical manifest these dwellings.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, like, when I tell them to meditate or when they speak on meditation, it's like, I really don't think that they know what meditation is.
Yeah.
People think meditation is just sitting at home, TV off, and they're just like
a monk. Yeah. That's probably what they see in their head.
That's a form of it that I would say, like, that's the introductory stage. But who the hell wants to be in kindergarten for the rest of their life or first grade for the rest of their life? That's stupid. There's no challenge. There's no elevating. You see what I'm saying? But yeah, meditation is very vital. Yoga, all of these things. People need to learn how to be comfortable in their own bodies. Once you're comfortable in your own body and you know... Once you're comfortable in your own body, that opens up the gateway for you to know what your passion is.
Yeah.
Once you know what you're passionate about and you're comfortable, that's just going to... You're going to be showered with confidence. You're going to exert so much confidence, people could see the fucking confidence exerting from your body.
Yeah.
In a sense. You see what I'm saying? It's like when people... Like... I've came across a couple like clips or interviews of celebrities talking about, you know, other celebrities. Like they'll be like, oh, when Michael Jackson or when Prince or like if Michael Jordan walks into the locker room, it's like this presence.
Yeah.
Because that's that person's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
They know their purpose and they're working towards that purpose. And you, as someone being unconfident with yourself, or just straight up insecure with yourself, you will feel threatened. And your defense mechanism for you being threatened by this person's presence, you will call them arrogant. That person, they can be arrogant in a sense, but are they really arrogant?
Yeah.
You call that... I've been told I was arrogant and I was stuck up and I was cocky before I even opened my mouth to people.
I got that too.
When I open my mouth, they're like, oh my God, I didn't know you was like this. Like what? Oh, I didn't. I thought you was like stuck up and cocky, like your face, but you never opened up. You never even said hello to me. You never introduced yourself to me.
Yeah.
So why are you walking around with all these misconceptions about people?
Yeah. I've got that a lot too. I've gotten that, like, oh, you look, and this is from girls too. Yeah, like girls who are too. Pretty and who, yeah. And who, yeah. you would see them and be like, oh,
me too.
You must have a lot of confidence, but these girls really don't have a lot of confidence.
Me too.
And they've told me things like, oh, when I seen you in the club or in the party, like, you look stuck up. You look cocky and
you don't want to speak.
But that's really the opposite, though, of me. Like, I'm not arrogant. I'm not cocky. I damn sure ain't stuck up. Like, I'll speak to anyone.
I would speak to a bum on the street.
Like, I'll speak to anyone. If they have good conversation and we could build on like certain topics,
and your vibe is not fake.
Yeah,
I could. I would.
Dead, we like, could speak, you know. And see, look, that's the problem with the world today, is that people prejudge way too quick.
Yeah,
like how the fuck you know who I am before you met me?
That's a fact.
That's one. And like people see like this outside shell of somebody, like, oh, he must be this way. Like people think that since I believe I dress nice, but I dress nice because it's my style.
Yeah.
I don't dress nice to society standards. It's what I feel like wearing. And that just happens to look nice to y'all, right?
Yeah.
So like people see me and they would say I'm an attractive guy. They say I'm handsome or I dress nice. And they wouldn't expect me to like be into the shit I'm into, like watching anime or playing video games. Or like, no lie, I'll be that kid who is like, well, not that kid, but I'll be that guy that looks like he's in a cool crowd, but I'll sit at the table with the nerds.
Me
because
too.
Dumb niggas is dope.
Dumb niggas
we
is
playing
real
Yu-Gi-Oh! We playing Uno.
That's
like
a fact. That's a fact.
Fuck all the fake, and I do quotations, fuck all the fake cool niggas that want to impress each other because they want to, because they don't have the confidence. They got to build their confidence off of dumb niggas, all the compliments and shit.
Yeah.
The nerds, they with their people, they enjoying car, they don't give a fuck about nobody else. That's why I'll sit with the nerds, niggas that y'all think is not cool. They cooler than y'all.
You know why? Because they're being true to themselves.
Yep.
This is me. The cool crowd, with quotations
them niggas
around
is
them.
All fake.
Them niggas got to buy clothes to get validation. You're doing the shit not for yourself. So I could smell it off of you.
Yep.
You want to listen to music that you deem is cool. Everybody deem is cool. But let a pretty girl walk in and she say, oh, I listen to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Now you're an Ed Sheeran fan.
Yeah. Oh, I always thought about, no, nigga.
Yeah.
Now next week you're going to come back bumping Ed Sheeran. Like, no, you're a copycat.
Yeah. You corny.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I told nerds when I was in City Tech. They used to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And I spoke to one of them. I was like, yo.
I'll bust your ass.
I'm going to pull up next week with my deck and we going to do. He could not believe me. Is this Chinese kid.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe me.
Yeah.
He's like, you play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, because you black and like, you dress nice and you look like you swagged out. But nah, like.
You think the biker jacket, gold watch, and FIA hat means like I'm exempt from this shit?
Yeah.
Nigga, I had a childhood too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fucking bust your ass.
Yeah.
Because I know you're going to be like, oh, he cool. He don't shop at Walmart like us. He cool.
Yeah.
He don't know how to duel. All right, nigga.
Yeah.
I never dueled him, but I even talked about like video games, like all of that.
See it. That's what I'm saying. That's what's wrong with people today. People got this misconception. I ain't going to lie. I don't like the word cool in that sense.
Yeah.
What the fuck is... Your cool is subjective.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people that's cool to a lot of people, and they're dead ass lame to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you. I can see your aura. You think you cool. You really not.
Yeah.
You not down to earth. You think you better than everybody. Like, you can't sit at my table, nigga.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's a fact.
You can't sit at my table. I think that's why I didn't really get along with people in high school.
Yeah.
Because I peeped it from the jump. I'm like, all right, I ain't the most popular guy, but I know who I am. I know who I am. But I see all these people that, like, they try to make it seem like they're better than everybody because they got these fancy clothes. But none of y'all have jobs. Y'all parents bought this for y'all. So the only difference is that you convinced your parents to buy you clothes that I couldn't convince my parents to buy me.
And
that
makes you
only
a better
difference.
Human being.
Yeah. You got a Gucci belt that you begged your parents to buy so you can look cool and talk down on kids that didn't want to trouble their parents. I'm pretty sure, because I was a kid, my dad bought me Versace jackets, mad shit. As I got older, I didn't need that shit to validate who I was.
Yeah.
I was wearing Mecca jeans.
Academics. Fake Jordans.
Fake Jordans, all that. Still feeling like myself.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. And to add to that, the same kids who was preoccupied with wearing all these fancy shit was failing Regents, possibly getting left back. Like, they was being told, yo, if you don't do such and such. And now, while we cruising...
Yeah.
For the next half of the school
year...
niggas
had two classes.
Niggas gotta fucking
year.
Catch up. I had to go into school at like 10 o'clock and I'm leaving like 11 something.
Yup. Easy.
We used to be in school. yo, this to the fans, like, me, Dominique, like, our whole clique. Shout out to Nikki, even though we don't talk no more, but shout out to you, Queen. Shout out to Tiffany. Shout out Aunt to Anthony Lassane. Shout out to Josh. OG. Shout out to the other aunt. Shout out to OG. Mm-hmm. Niggas dead used to be chilling. When I say chilling, I'm talking about like posted up, leaning on the wall, chilling, macking, making jokes.
Yeah.
In front of the main office,
yeah,
which is right next to the principal's office.
Yeah.
And if we wasn't there, we was by the guidance counselor.
Yep.
Cause you know why? That shit was cool to us. Yep. We made that shit cool. Yeah. 11th graders used to come up to us and stand up and chill with us, talk to us and shit. We made that cool.
Yeah.
Other niggas, basketball team, football team, I had no problems with them. I knew more football niggas than basketball niggas. But what's cool to them was going to the gym and fucking in the lunchroom starting food fights, whatever, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Fighting, like, that's corny shit.
Yeah.
Why the hell I want to fuck up my senior year about fighting?
Yeah, word.
I'm going on these senior trips. Oh, nah, that's corny.
Yeah.
But you rather buy that Burberry shirt, though.
Yeah, to go to the baby shower.
You going
to
have that shit for what? What, the summer? The year? But I'm going to have this memory in the yearbook for the rest of my life.
Y'all only wear them shits at baby showers. I ain't never see a nigga in the city with a Burberry shirt.
Who's really corny? I'm participating and having fun with people who I entered my freshman year with, creating more memories.
Yeah.
But nah, that's whack. Let me buy these, you know, expensive shit.
Yeah.
And go to summer school.
Yeah, I was never, I was never into the designer
stupid.
Shit. Like, my dad bought me Prada's, I gave them to my uncle. Like, that's not my style.
I'm not even knocking the designer. It's like, I'm talking about your whole mentality. If you need these things to be more confident in your and to have a personality, you got a problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have lacking. A serious problem.
Yeah, you lacking. Yeah. That's like, a fact.
You can't bag a girl in the fucking civil rights polo shirt?
Yeah, word.
Nah, I need polo from Ralph Lauren to bag her.
Word. And it's funny you say that because, like, I have designer kicks. I dress nice, like I said, but I ain't going to lie. My favorite sneakers is these Van, not even real Van. They Van lookalikes from Uniqlo when I used to work there.
Mm.
And they beat up as shit. Yeah. Like the bottom of it looks messed up. But I love wearing them because when I'm outside, I don't have like that mental anxiety of like, damn, I hope nobody on the train fucking step on my shoes.
Yeah,
I hope nobody scuff my shoes because I paid so much money for these. God forbid I get a scuff. Damn, like I paid $800 for these. Yeah. Damn.
Now my day is ruined.
Those sneakers cost $15. I feel like the man in them shits. I'll bag anybody I want.
I was just about to say, I'm pretty sure you bag a couple honeys in them. Like, that's all it is. Like, girls look at your personality. They get that. They know your confidence while walking to them. You looking down. You looking down at your shirt. You fixing your shirt. She like, damn, this nigga just he just flossing his damn shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He's selling himself with his clothes.
Yeah. That's the world we live in, son. Everybody's superficial. Everybody's on the surface. Nobody's what's inside. And I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna sit here in front like I'm out here just dating ugly chicks. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. But besides that one aspect, like.
But that's not really shallow either, because people always tell us from young, date people who's on the same level as you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or date who you genuinely like.
Yeah.
Some girls like nerds.
Yeah.
That them being shallow to the preference. Millionaires?
Yeah,
who's trying to holler at them in their inbox? That's your preference.
Yep. It's all about preference. And I ain't gonna lie, like, people be like, well, I've heard this plenty of time. You probably heard it too.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say things like, well, you don't have to get damn what they say. They say things like, well, usually the girls that are really pretty have bad personalities, and the ugly ones always have like real good, wholesome personalities. They're down to earth. But see, look.
That shit is not true.
I'm not going to sell myself short because I know for a fact I have enough confidence in myself that I could get best of the both worlds. Yeah. I could get a girl that's bad looking, like looks attractive, and has a great personality, and I have done so all my life. Why would I adapt your mindset and sell myself short because I believe I can't get both?
And you know it's crazy too? Nah. People, this is another thing people fail to realize. A certain mindset
attracts.
Like, your mindset goes hand in hand with the law of attraction.
Yep. 100%.
Ever since I bald my head, every fucking day I'm seeing like 10 bald niggas. Every day. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
When I had waves, I'm seeing niggas brushing their hair, mad niggas with do-rags. I'm like.
Yeah. That shit is dead ass true.
Your mindset attracts stuff because your mindset, especially if it's your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
That shit is like a magnet to the world. And whatever you have deep down there that you thinking about, that's why people try to say make your conscious mind your subconscious mind or vice versa, or try to link the two, or even try to get to that point to tap into either or. That's my goal. That's one of my goals. I want to tap in whenever I want. You see what I'm saying? And then teach my family. You see what I'm saying? But whatever you have resting in your mind, you would see that stuff constantly fructifying in the real world, in the material world. People be like, oh, it's a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
People, language prevents us as well as propels us with our successes in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. I believe in law of attraction 100%. Like when I started my whole, I learned about it more once I embarked on like my entrepreneur journey and like, you know, reading personal development books and whatnot. And my mentors will always tell me, your thoughts become things. You know what I'm saying? So if you want something, focus on it, and it's going to manifest with the actions put behind it.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Meaning like if you focus on whatever you focus on expands. So if you constantly focusing on, oh, I can't find a good man, I can't find a good woman, all my friends are fake, fuck fake people, you're going to attract nothing but fake people in your life. People that are not good for your health.
Yeah.
People don't realize that shit.
Yeah.
Why would you constantly talk about shit that you don't want? Why would you put that energy out there in the world?
Yeah.
It's really a simple concept if you think about it.
Yeah. It's really simple, but the problem with a lot of people out here today is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one word, discipline. Like to add to that, to your what you were saying just now, even more examples is like when I first started doing Uber, right? The car I drive a E350 Benz.
Fine.
And I appreciate that. But when I first started, like I used to have like a lot of tire problems. Like I'm always running over a damn screw in the road.
New York City.
And I need to go to the tire shop, fix the tire, get a patch, get a new tire, fix the rim. Or it's some shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it got to a point, like after the second time, I'm like, oh my God. Like while driving, anxiety, right? It's always something with this fucking car. It's always something with the tire. It's always this. I hope I don't run over. Next thing you know, tire again. Tire again.
Yeah.
Tire. I'm like, oh. Then it came to my mind one time. I was watching this, like, it was a video on, you know, laws of attraction. And I even subscribed to KRS. He would talk about certain things in terms of, like, thoughts becoming things. By the way, y'all should check out KRS-One. Like, his videos, that dude is dope. Very intellectual, brother. But it came to my realization that when you say, I don't want, the universe gives you that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And when you say, I want, sometimes it would still give you what you don't want.
Yeah.
Because you have to work towards what you really want. And sometimes, too, it's best not to speak certain things.
Yeah.
Internalize it. Make it become part of your conscious as well as your subconscious, because this is the difference between subconscious and subconscious mind. To me, your subconscious mind is your body and your thoughts on autopilot. Your conscious mind is when you grab that steering wheel.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And you try to steer it in a certain way. But the road is the universe. Mm. You could steer all you want, but me being the universe, I know your life path. Mm-hmm. So you could turn, you could turn that steering wheel to the left all you want. My nigga, you making a right. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? That's how I look at it.
Yeah, how you look at it.
Because, and based on how I look at it, how I described it just now, I've seen so many things open up before me. By me looking at it that way, and by me living my life according to that way of how I, you know, conceptualize it.
Yeah. Nah, I agree. I agree with that. I'm telling you, man, the mental and your thoughts and your brain and the shit you focus your mind to, that's the most powerful thing you can have control over.
Yeah.
Is your damn mind.
Yeah.
And no, it's like nobody thinks about that. Yeah. Everybody's trying to like, and I understand. I mean, everybody wants to get their bank account really big. Everybody wants to get a new car or get nice clothes and shit. But if you don't, or even like get big muscles and say that. But if you don't work on the most important muscle, which is your mind and your brain,
you'll never achieve them.
You're going to always fall short.
Or even if you do achieve them, it's never going to be to that extent that
you won't sustain
feel
it.
That you can accomplish.
Perfect example. Why you think, and this is a real, this is like an actual fact. They say that what, like 80 plus percent of lottery winners go broke in like 2 to 5 years.
I heard that before.
Because, and this is an actual thing, because they don't know how to handle that type of money. They haven't like they don't have the financial literacy to understand how to manage that money, what not to do. With that mindset, people think when you make more money, you got to spend more money. That's not the way it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why their minds haven't caught up to what happened to them. You know what I'm saying? As far as like how much money they acquired. Mm. That's why all these niggas are going broke, son.
Yeah.
2 to 5 years. You'd have made 100 million, 150, but two to five years.
To add to that too, though, is
that's crazy
how we were conditioned and what we was taught.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever
people?
Yeah. Have you ever been in a financial literacy class throughout your whole life of schooling?
Never.
Me neither. I haven't even done so much as dissecting an animal. Ever.
Nope. Ever.
I can only dream about it.
Our schools didn't have the funding for it.
Yeah.
Doing quotations.
I can only dream about it.
Yeah.
And I would live out the fantasies while watching Zoe 101 or Ned's Declassified when I was younger.
Yep.
Because these is the schools that I pictured, you know, going to.
Yeah.
But like you said, when you're not equipped with certain things, your mind just can't fathom what is happening to you in that moment.
And you go nuts.
So you want to live to the best of your abilities in that moment.
Yep.
But the conditioning, the way we was conditioned, we conditioned to not think individually, to not think on an entrepreneurial level. We need to think, well, I recant what I said just now with the individually. We're taught to think individually. We're taught to think every man for themselves, dog eat dog world, shit like that.
Yeah, crap in the barrel.
All this shit is lies.
Yeah.
People, I'm going to tell you some real shit right now. Like, life is an illusion. A lot of shit you see is an illusion.
Yeah.
And once you, like I said just now with the unconscious and unconscious and conscious mind, once you develop a euphoric, like, relationship between the two, you can shape your future. I'm not speaking from a person who has been there, done that. By all means, like, to be quite honest, I'm still finding my way with it. Yeah. But from what I've came across so far, the shit is pretty legit.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it'll keep getting crazier.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention this. It was a study in Washington, D.C., right? It's a group of it was a group of black intellectuals, and they used to complain about the crime rate being so high in Washington, D.C., which was a fact, or is a fact. I'm not sure what it's like now. But these these intellectuals came in, and they were speaking with the, they were like working in conjunction with the law enforcement agencies out there, and they devised the program. They said meditation is actually stronger than what people think it is as, think of it as being. You see what I'm saying? So they were like, we're going to meditate and show you the power of the mind, right? So the basically law enforcement agents, they laughed it off, right? They're like, these crazy niggers.
Yeah.
So their goal was to decrease crime by 6%. And all they did, believe it or not, all they did, like you see how we're sitting here? Six of them sat down and they just meditated on lowering crime rate, increasing more harmony, more companionship, more lovingness. The crime rate decreased by 30-something percent. And you know what the law enforcement agencies did?
How long
did?
It took for to do that?
I'm not sure. Like, I was listening to to this podcast, and one of the intellectuals, they were speaking on it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was a week or 2 weeks or a month, but it dropped by 30-something percent.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, law enforcement, they wanted to see in black and white, like A plus B equals C. Like, what
how
did we
did
do
that.
To lower it? Or what did the gang members have a truce? Like what? It has to be some type of, you know, justifiable, tangible reasoning to this.
Yeah.
And they ultimately threw out the program. They canceled it. No more meditation. Crime rate went back up.
After it
was proven.
That's
but because
dumb.
You got to understand, it's a business. Crime is a business. If the crime went down, all these vacant, you know, prison cells, what are we going to do with them? It cost us money to build them. So we need to fill them with, you know, occupants.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's crazy.
They can make all the hooting and hollering about Chicago. They know, at the end of the day, they know who they are.
Yeah.
They know that I know that they know the real reasons behind these things, behind these, you know, tragedies. And they also know the proper, you know, precautionary steps, as well as the solutions to, you know, take care of these problems. But they just don't want to do it because why? It doesn't fit their narrative. And that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about niggas' narrative. If it's not, you know, correlating with our narrative, we're just not going to subscribe with it.
Yeah.
Well, subscribe to it.
That's crazy. I need to start meditating myself. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I feel like that's gonna put everything full circle for me. Everything I'm doing right now and trying to build upon, I feel like meditation would just link it all and just multiply it. And like, what's the word?
Amplify.
Amplify it. Yeah. Yep. That's it. Yeah. Yep.
Niggas on the same wavelength.
Yeah, yep. Yep, for sure. But moving on though, I'm glad we got to speak about that. I love conversations like that. Just like speaking about life and just perspective and stuff like that. That's so dope.
Damn, that should have been 40 minutes?
Yeah, 40 minutes, bro.
See what I told you?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I dead said, that fucking topic
is
going to take up a lot of time. Man.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yep.
And it flowed
good stuff,
so,
though.
Like,
yeah, it flowed very fluent.
You know what I'm saying?
Moving on from something less...
less euphoric.
Less euphoric and delightful. My guy, Charlemagne the God. They
lying on my
another victim
prominent
of Me Too.
Black figure.
Let's look, man. Let's talk about it, cause, and look, I'm gonna be very blunt, and I'm not holding nothing back from this conversation right now, cause I know that a lot of people that listening. That's going to listen to this and other people in general. I'll be quite frank. A lot of y'all niggas is biased. A lot of y'all niggas is biased on two accounts. Y'all biased on the Me Too movement as a whole. Like, There's no due process. You gonna believe them regardless.
Yeah.
Because in your mind, you thinking that, oh, why would this woman just say she was raped? Why would she want to be a poster child for, hey, I was raped? But you don't understand that there are ulterior motives for these things, right? That's one. Not saying it's one of them, but these things exist, right? Yeah. That's one.
That's fine.
So you're biased on that one account. And you're biased against Charlamagne. Charlamagne is very outspoken and he's successful and he's a black man. Anyone that's, I've dealt with this. I've been right on many accounts, but since I'm outspoken and I don't go about it in a very, let's say, in a humble way, because I'm in your face. Like, once I know you wrong, nigga, you wrong, and I'm going to tell you wrong. People don't like that. Mm-hmm. That's how Charlamagne is. You know what I'm saying?
So they champion you getting dragged through the mud.
Exactly. Even if
you're wrong. Even if you're right, I mean.
Even when there's no due process, and a lot of times you are right because they don't like the way you are personally, they make that shape their whole opinion about everything you do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's going on with Charlamagne right now. Charlamagne has this wild narrative online that he hates black women. Like, literally, I got into it with this woman online. White woman had the nerve to tell me that I was anti-black woman. Had the nerve to tell me that since I wanted due process and I wasn't just jumping on Charlamagne like, oh, he's guilty. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, this admitted, you're anti-black woman as well. A white woman told me this, that. I actually was offended. I'm like, I said, you could never in your life call me anti-black woman. Ever in your life.
I would have called her anti-human. Because y'all niggas, since y'all fucking inception, y'all been killing human beings. Yourselves included. So you should be the last fucking person talking.
He got this narrative around him that he doesn't like black women, but he's had plenty of black women on his podcast, on his radio show. He bigs them up. He has them in his camp. They're his managers.
Mentors.
Mentors. All of that. Had them in mad shit.
Had sex with some.
His wife is black.
His daughters is black.
He don't cheat. Mad shit.
You know what? Before you move on, I'm going to tell you exactly why they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Divide and conquer.
Yep.
They want us to hate other black men who are lied upon, discredit them, disassociate ourselves with them. And then once that happened, now they're going to introduce new things for us to fight amongst each other as far as the black men and black women, because they're pushing for that law, whereas if we try to holler at women on the street, we can be reprimanded with jail time or probation or even death based on what's going on in America right now. So that's all it is. They trying to divide and conquer. So a lot of shit that they pushing right now, a lot of shit. And I want to touch on this too. All that shit with Donald Trump, he is a fucking puppet. Do not feed into that nigga. Yeah. We need to pay attention to shit that's actually going on behind the scenes. They strategically placed Donald Trump to stir up emotions and have niggas just...
distracted.
Know, exactly.
Yeah.
We're currently being distracted right now from the real shit that's happening. Because think about it. All the real shit, like policies, laws being passed or whatever, Donald Trump, that's not the stuff we're mad at Donald Trump about. We're mad at Donald Trump for saying grab by the pussy. We're mad at Donald Trump for being a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, basically being an idiot. Yeah.
We're not mad at him for the policies being pushed.
Yeah.
For the agendas being pushed right now.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So going back to that fucking cave woman.
Yeah. That shit was wild. I'm just like, so basically I'm gonna tell the backstory about this whole thing. Charlamagne is now being accused by a young lady by the name of Jessica Reed. She said in the year 2001, on June 9th, she was 15 at the time, she was allegedly raped by Charlamagne the God.
He was
22 at the time. Now, he's told this story before, but he told it on his podcast, in an interview with academics, told it on The Breakfast Club.
In his book. Yeah.
He spoke about it before, and how his story goes is, now before I say this thing, I'm not putting nothing past nobody, but we gotta have due process. I'm not incriminating this man just because this woman comes out and say he did it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Period. All right. So the story was is that he was throwing a house party. The girl in question, she came with her friend. They was having a party. He left the party before everything happened. The next day, he seen some of his cousins on the block. They was like, yo, last night after you left, this girl was drunk. She was throwing shit around saying she got raped.
And such was detained. And he went down to the station to tell them, I was the one that threw the party. I should be the one, you know, to, you know,
his
be
cousin reprimanded on the block.
And to let go. This does not sound like a nigga that fucking raped somebody. But keep going.
His cousins on the block said that some other kid or some other cousin he had was at the precinct. That guy who they said was in the precinct, he was like about to be a football star. Charlamagne was like, nah, we can't have his life fucked up. So he went to the precinct on account of him and was like, yo, I take full responsibility for whatever happened at the party. It was my party. I supplied the liquor or whatever. Yeah. But come to find out, he said that his cousins who told him that his cousin was there at the precinct,
they were lying
because they wasn't invited to the party, right?
Yeah.
So he went there for no reason,
basically
just confessed, not really confessed, but said he was responsible for something that he had no dealings with, and the guy wasn't even there, right?
Yeah.
So the next week, they picked him up, and he was charged with rape, but then it got lowered to a lower charge.
Serving alcohol to minors.
To a minor, and he got 3 years probation. And he said that they did a DNA test to see who raped her, and his DNA didn't match. Like, now, I want that to stick in y'all heads.
I don't recall him saying anybody's DNA matched, though.
Yeah.
It was people's DNA.
No. You're right. I didn't hear him say that either. So, like I said, listen to what I just said, everyone that's listening, right? I'm not taking either side, right?
This is just being strictly objective.
Until the DNA comes out, nobody's right or wrong because we don't know shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the girl explained, she had an interview with Starin Buckwild. And see, this is why shit is lopsided, because Starin Buckwild, he's been low key trying to get at Charlamagne because they say that Charlamagne took like his style of radio being like very blunt and very
rude. It's an opposing radio platform.
I think it's jealousy. You know what I'm saying? Like, against Charlamagne. But anyway, the girl went on his radio show and said that he lied about being 20 years old. He's actually 22 years old. And he was actually at the party. He made her a drink at the party. She started feeling woozy or whatever. And then she woke up with him on top of her. And he was actually penetrating her. So she's claiming that he was actually raping her. Which, like I said, I don't put it past nobody. But nobody's talking about this DNA test. It would have been that simple, you know what I'm saying, just to have a DNA test. But I'm kind of confused about this case because first, in her report, it says that she was going to press charges for rape, but then her mother made her step down because her mom didn't want her to, like, I guess, go through this whole traumatizing experience, I guess. But you're already halfway through the court system. You might as well just get him...
You already got fucking raped.
Yeah.
That's the most traumatizing of it all.
You might as well get convicted
if you
really did.
So going through a legal process. This is the bullshit. Like, let me just address a couple red flags that I see. First of all, she took all this fucking time to speak about this shit.
17 years? Yeah.
Right? That's one. Two, you took all this time on top of Charlamagne speaking about it.
Yeah.
Like, the first time, you could have been like, oh, I'm the victim, and you're actually lying, because you raped me. Right?
Yeah.
The book came out. You had time. The book came out, like, 2 years ago.
Yep.
How I look at this, how I see this whole shit is, it's like Charlamagne is currently one of the statistics. He's one of the Russell Simmons now. He's joining Russell Simmons, Bill Cosby, all these niggas. Because the system, they do not like seeing a prominent black figure standing with a family, like a positive, strong family unit as his foundation. God there, you know, being a God-fearing man, subscribing to God, and not just saying, I believe in God, and doing all these other heinous shit. actually making moves. HBO book deals. He just got done with another book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A national syndicated radio show that could potentially grow into an international syndicated radio show because it more than has the potential.
Yeah.
So
it's a hell of a time to come out.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm kind of like it's kind of planned.
The HBO show.
So it's like you took all this time to remember that Charlamagne was actually on top of you.
Well, yeah. Well, her story is that she's been dealing with it for over 15 years. She hasn't got any closure for it.
Oh, my God. She should have had the closure when she first pushed for the fucking legal, like, you know, process. Like, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit. Straight up.
Yeah.
This, like I said on earlier episodes, the sad thing about all of this is I really, genuinely feel sorry for the women who actually got raped.
Yeah.
Because all these other women, they're on some real fucking boy who cry wolf bullshit. They just doing this shit for money. And at the end of the day, all they want is money. Like I said on an earlier episode before, I'm like, if you really want justice, you should be pushing for these niggas to be off of the streets, period. So you and your mom, y'all could tell me whatever the fuck y'all want to tell me now. If he raped you back then, he was more inclined to rape again because he got away with raping you.
Yeah.
So what's so special about your vagina that he only raped you one time? That's it. Like, okay, I'm done. You see what I'm saying? What's so special or what's so bad about your vagina? Was it a bad rape experience? Not to make a joke out of rape, but you see what I'm saying? Like, you should try as a rape victim to get that rapist off the streets to protect potentially another victim. So you coming out with these rape allegations after people blew the fuck up. If Charlamagne was working at Burger King, you wouldn't have said shit.
Yeah.
If he was still on the corner of Mount Tooth, South Carolina, right?
Nah, it's like
Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Yeah. If he was still on that corner, doing nothing with his life, watching his life wash away, like his uncles and cousins, like he mentioned in the book. You would not, I guarantee, you would not have came out with this fucking story.
So basically, what she says, speak more on it. She said that she don't want none of his money, right? That's what she claimed in the,
so what the fuck do you want?
Red interview. I ain't gonna lie.
You want an interview on The Breakfast Club?
And I can still speak on this case with an unbiased opinion and be subjective. I mean, I don't believe he did it, but if he did do it, yeah. I mean, he did it. You know what I'm saying?
If he did, justice will be served. Like, yeah. Karma is going to come around and bite his ass. He got two daughters.
So in the charge, it says that, what does it say? Oh, so basically, he was on a warrant. He got arrested on a warrant from a charge of criminal sexual conduct with a minor in the second degree for an incident for allegedly happened, whatever, right? And then he took a plea deal. That's what they said. He took a plea deal and they got lowered to the giving
probation.
Giving alcohol to a minor. He got 3 years probation. That's why I'm kind of confused at. It's like, even if you didn't go fully with the whole court system, right?
Okay.
Wouldn't they still take DNA regardless since you went through with it? Like, if they're not even gonna give him a chance to plead deal for a charge, they gotta prove that he even did that first charge, right? Wouldn't that make the most sense?
Yes.
So if they took DNA, where the fuck the DNA test?
They took DNA, but never conducted the test.
And if he got a DNA test and if he did rape you, he would have got convicted. He did no jail time. That's why I'm confused. Like, if he really raped this girl and he took DNA and it was him, which we're waiting for DNA test. Would it even be an option for a plea deal with no jail time? He did no jail time.
I don't think so.
For you raping a girl and she's underage and you gave her alcohol, all these things, and you didn't do no jail time. That's why I'm kind of like,
he must be undercover CIA.
Add up to me. Maybe.
to be
maybe real, maybe I'm missing nothing. Maybe somebody needs to at me after the episode comes out and explain to me the whole system. But
shit make no sense.
Where's the DNA test? Because when we get that, then I don't give a fuck who's saying who, what, where, when, how. Where DNA test?
And the funny thing about it too is, according to Charlemagne's story, right, it was multiple dudes. Yeah. Right? So far, I only heard her being adamant on Charlemagne, right?
Yeah. Like, and it was her and her friend that was in sexual things too.
Oh, so the friend got raped too?
I mean, she didn't say that, but she said that her friend went in the room, she went in the room. And then she looked across the room, and after everything was done, she seen her friend, like, waking up like she was drugged as well. So that's, the way it's worded, it sounds like her friend was, like, getting sexually assaulted too. So, but, like, where's the friend? Like, why nobody's mentioning the friend and DNA testing? I'm confused.
You see what I'm saying?
It's a lot of holes in the story.
It's a lot of holes and a lot of holes in the fucking story. Like, niggas be lying, son. Lying for what?
I don't know, man.
If y'all want to make up a lie, make sure the shit is bullshit proof. There's no loopholes. Like, make the shit believable. Don't make the shit. Don't fucking plan the shit out in a fucking handy dandy notebook and then bring it to the fucking masses and be like, oh, this happened. This bullshit happened.
Handy dandy notebook.
And as the fucking story progresses, that's when we make edits. No, that makes no sense. As people call me biased all they want. As far as I'm considered, this is my lawyer instincts kicking in. This shit is a fucking farce. This shit makes no sense.
Yeah.
You took all this time. You went, you reported it, but you refused to do a DNA test.
Yeah.
If you chose that option. Now, let's go with the other option. If you chose to go along with the DNA test, where's the results, like you said? Where's the fucking results?
I don't know, man.
To my knowledge, law enforcement, like quarters, they don't throw out stuff like that every 5 years. They don't be like, oh, let's throw out all these cases. Yeah. It's our fifth year now. Let's make room for, you know, 5 more years worth of cases. No, everything is stored in a database.
Mm-hmm.
So why? The shit just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. But
shout out to Charlemagne. Keep making the moves.
Keep, hopefully it's not true. You know, man.
Keep putting niggas on their feet. Keep being you. Keep doing you. Keep receiving them blessings.
Yeah, and people, stop being biased, man. Like, just wait for everything to come out. I understand that you're a human being, and human beings have emotions, which allows them to have irrational thoughts and make irrational decisions. And you want to be biased because you don't like what he said in the past. I understand. Y'all niggas don't allow people to grow into better people. Y'all demonize people for shit that niggas did 15 years ago. Like, shit that he said on 3 radio shows ago. I understand that you're a human and you want to be biased, but we got to give it some type of time and due process for it to develop. Like, come on, son.
I'm going to add on to what you said with the demonizing thing, too. If you look at it, it's mainly black people that they don't really forgive. White people, Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber, they say all the shit they want. Britney Spears, do all the shit they want. And they be like, oh, I was in a bad space in that period of my life. And I'm reformed. I found Jesus. Miley Cyrus, oh, and I did this. And I'm a free person now. Shut the fuck up. You're the same fucking demon. You're acting right now. You deserve a fucking Oscar. You deserve everything. You every award. You deserve Emmy, you deserve the Tony, honor roll. You deserve
Dean's List.
Like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm gonna say this too. If you're white, stay the fuck out of black people relations. Cause all y'all niggas wanna do is come with this fucking smile and this fake ass like concern and sympathy. But all y'all wanna do is split us up so that y'all can fucking continue oppressing us. Stay the fuck out of our business, Becky and John. If you're not our lawyer, and if you're not impartial, stay the fuck out of our business.
Oh, man.
Moving on. More fuck niggas in the fucking news. Kanye West. Call him out. We got to call these niggas out.
Yeah.
We got to call these niggas out. You gotta call these niggas out,
Kanye, stand in front of the black congregation right now. What's this we hearing about you? Okay, before I even say all that, I want everyone that was on Drake's dick in a negative sense, right? I want everybody who was on Drake's dick talking about he caught an L and how, oh, you got exposed and how, wow, you're a deadbeat. You was hiding a kid. Before I even jump to the Kanye shit, let's address the whole narrative behind Drake catching the L, right? I don't give a fuck if he caught an L. That ain't my fucking pops. I don't lose no money or gain any money if he went on caught an L, right?
Yeah.
But the narrative behind that whole beef was that, damn, you got exposed for being a deadbeat and you hiring a kid. And this nigga Push exposed the whole rollout and shit. This nigga Drake was like, we kind of found out this nigga Drake was never a deadbeat.
I ain't gonna front though. I was part of that statistic. When Pusha T dropped that line on Story,
it was easy to fall into that because it sounded.
I thought, I was like, oh shit, Drake, what the fuck? You give out $1 million and you ain't give your baby mom a dollar.
You know what it is? You was part of that no due process.
I was like, oh man, I'm reacting with emotion. But I never said anything. I never wrote it because I'm the type of person, like, I gotta wait until the facts surface.
Yeah.
Just like this. Like, I call Kanye. Yeah. Yeah, I called him out. I don't give a fuck, Kanye West, right? But if it does come out that he indeed did not
give Pusha T, we're gonna talk about it. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it.
You know, if he didn't,
yeah,
I still gotta call you out because you still been doing coon shit. So I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But that's my little disclaimer. But
we don't get to that.
Continue.
Yeah, so basically, like, the whole time, Drake hasn't been a deadbeat. He's been seeing his son. He's been giving money. He's been flying the mom out. And it's so funny. One of the best quotes that Charlamagne ever says, nobody believes the truth when the lie is more entertaining.
Yeah.
It's more juicy. It's more, especially when a nigga's winning.
Yeah.
Always winning. Of course we want this nigga to lose. Oh, he a deadbeat? Yeah, let's run with that. We don't want to even look deep into it. We don't want to wait until the real story comes out.
Yeah.
And plus, the real reason why Story of Adon got so much like more praise is because it's the Ether effect. Ether was much more disrespectful. It was more like, oh, you a bitch, suck my dick. It was more of that, like, wow, like he really violating you. For example, we could be in a group of friends. I could be cutting your ass. Mm-hmm. You say some shit like, your mom sucked my dick. The whole crowd go crazy.
Yeah.
After I've been cutting your ass for the last 10 minutes, busting your ass. But a mom joke comes, oh shit, you just got bodied.
Mm.
That's the Ether effect. If it's more disrespectful, people gravitate to it.
But I'm going to say this. Even though Ether was more disrespectful, he still had some bars and some power punches.
But a lot of folks like Takeover way better.
People are just biased to Jay-Z. Better. People like Biggie over Pac just because Brooklyn. They be like, Brooklyn, nigga, you're not supposed to like Pac. I'd be like, no, I like Tupac more.
Yeah, Tupac from Brooklyn, though. He's born in Brooklyn.
A lot of people, yeah, but he don't rep it. He rap West Side. Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah, but know, the thing is, but we calling out Kanye right now. Because if this is true, this is some real, and this talk about your character, what I'm about to say. So it's alleged that after Drake went to Wyoming, after Kanye called him hella time, like, yo, work on some music with us, right? He helped write Yikes, which I never heard Ye's album. I don't bump Kanye no more. But I heard that Yikes is like the best song on Ye's album.
Mm-hmm.
Drake helped write that track. So he calls Drake to help write the track. Drake goes to Wyoming, helps him out. And then you helped produce Infrared, which had a slight to Drake on Push's album. And then it's alleged that Ye gave Pusha T all the info for his Story of Adidon diss.
Yeah.
After Drake let him hear his album in March 14th, speaking about his baby mother and his child, this nigga goes behind Drake's back after Drake put his hand out and helped him. And you go behind his back and you give info on Drake the Pusher. Some corny shit.
I mean, Jay-Z
that
said
that Drake, son. So fuck that. That Pusher diss track, that shit loses mad points for that, boy. That shit lose mad points for that, son. I lost mad respect for that shit, boy. Go ahead.
Jay-Z did say that he gave Kanye 20 million without blinking, and he gave him 20 minutes on stage. What the fuck was he thinking, right?
Just like...
So how is that
just
surprising?
Like Drake said, who grips the mic and tries to kill their friends? Kanye, son. Kanye, that son. Kanye been doing some real flagrant shit, son.
Kanye. Yo, Jamal
we,
West.
We, I don't know. So we traded him. Who we trading him for in a white community?
Do we want
Steve Carroll?
Like, who?
Steve Carroll.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that trade. But
we traded him, son. Oh, we Michael just give him away. No, he a free agent. We just give him away.
Yeah. Yeah, you are our fucking Boogie Cousins. Bye.
You don't like Boogie Cousins no more?
No. I do like him. Oh. But I'm saying, because he was a free agent, he chose the Warriors.
Yeah,
so Kanye chose the white people.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Like, what's
you know what I'm saying?
What's going on with Kanye, son?
That's what I was about to say. Kanye West, you need more black women around you, my brother.
Yeah. Because he has none right now.
Black women are the foundation to black men. Without a black woman, you...
Without a strong black woman, there's no strong black man.
Yeah. Without a strong black woman. Not only that, it's like, it's so many things. Like, that's too vague. Like, it's like, we need to break it down. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't really... I'm not calling him a coon, but you cannot change the mind of a coon. I refuse to accept that. Mm-hmm. A coon is a coon. Like, it's like somebody being possessed.
Yeah.
But the exorcism cannot exorcise the demon out of them. It's like that coon spirit is there to stay. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly believe it would make a difference, because we clearly see the difference when his mom was alive and, you know, after she passed.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe
I
didn't want
to believe that at first, but I started to see it. Yeah.
So maybe by having a strong black woman around, and you know what's crazy? Charlamagne said the same thing. Maybe by having a strong black woman around or in your corner, like, you would have more of a meaning for living. Like, I'm not saying that your life is meaningless. You have a beautiful wife, you know, a beautiful family, 3 kids to live for. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, you still subscribe to some coon shit. You still subscribe to some, like, fuck nigga shit. Like, yeah. I could criticize you. And I could, you know, hold you in high regard. I could respect you as a man at the same time. I have no problem doing that. Like, I don't let my emotions, you know, sway me. But, my nigga, you need to do better.
Yeah. And that's some real corny shit.
Don't be good, my nigga. Be great. Who said that? Don't be good, my nigga. Be great. Wasn't it Jay-Z?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I know it's somebody. I thought.
Yeah, what was it on his?
It was a track. I forgot.
Was that on his album with Kanye the Throne, or that was...
Nah, it was before that.
Before that?
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, man. No pun intended, because, you know, good music.
Yeah.
But, like, you need to... And it's not only Kanye. Like, it's a lot of people out there that need that strong foundation in their corner, because they be on some wild shit. Like,
You're not thinking rash... You're not thinking rationally.
All y'all niggas on some fucking emotion shit.
Y'all on, like, some Jesse Lee Peterson shit.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's amazing.
Like,
I don't know, man. But
speaking of black guys acting a fucking fool with their mom, this clown ass nigga down there in Florida, like, yo, disrespecting your mom to this extent, at that, should be the last thing on anybody's mind. Like, I don't care your ethnicity, your nationality. So, apparently, there's a guy by the name of Bisbee Holton, age 20. He was arrested for attempted homicide after the police were called to his home in the 2900 block of DN Road. And this is in Florida, Tallahassee, right? Apparently, what sparked this whole altercation was Bisbee's mom asked him to chip in on the rent and the gas bill, and he lost it. Ultimately, pulled out his gun. Not only did he lose it verbally, but this nigga took it to a whole new level. Like, you would have swore like this nigga mom was like set tripping on him or something. Like, he cursed out, pulled his gun. Not only did he pull his gun, he fired two shots at his mom, all because she asked for money to chip in on the bills.
That's insane.
And you're living with your mom.
That's in.
You're using the electricity. You're using the gas. You're using the house. Why not chip in on the rent?
Yo, try to visualize that. He pulled a gun out on his mom, son.
I know they're gonna try to spin this and be like, "Oh, black people." Nah, it's the foods. The foods are altering our neurological system, and by that being altered, our actions are not, you know, they're not properly planned. They're not coming from a genuine place. You see what I'm saying? So
I think it's a combination of things. It could be food. It could be
drugs too. We don't know what drugs he's subscribing to. It's a bunch of shit. All I'm saying is that's not black people. I don't give a fuck what you say.
Yeah.
That's not us. Certain crimes, and an older person told me this too. She was like, it was once a point in time when I was younger, when we hear a crime on the radio or the TV by just hearing it, and we know which group of people did this. Or we know the ethnicity of
like shoot up a school, you white.
Yeah.
Rob a liquor store, you most likely black.
Yeah.
Killing cats inside of a back alley, you Asian. jumping the wall into the country, you man.
Yeah, stealing cats. I mean, he cats,
anybody, you but.
Like, come on, we know certain shit.
Like, even, yeah, black people, we got our own shit too. Like,
yeah, somebody broke into a watermelon patch. Yep. Tyrone.
Yep.
You came in with mud the other
niggas
night.
Hopped the counter at Popeye's trying to make their own chicken.
Black people. This is what we do.
Yeah, this is
shooting your mom.
Yeah, that's not us.
Come on.
That's not us. That's more like Jimmy
Menendez brothers. Like, come on. That's dumb niggas.
Yeah.
The lighter people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yo, speaking of fucking crazy crimes, guess this crime. Neighbor breaks in. Neighbor is caught fucking his neighbor's dog.
Guess what the race is.
I want you to guess.
White?
Beep, 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 beep. You in a bucket of fried chicken. Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Yo.
Son, how good is dog pussy? Because that ain't the first time I seen niggas fucking the dog, son.
No lie, though. This nigga, his picture, he looked like an animal fucker.
He looked like an animal.
He looked like a dog. I ain't gonna front. And he's bruised. I don't know if the dog was like
dog was trying to back.
Fight back. Like, nah,
son, the dog fighting back, son.
Me too.
Fuck me.
Roof. Me too. That's what that roof stand for. Me too, nigga. The fuck. Philip Samuel Mercon. He sound like a fucking psychopath.
Son, we gotta talk about this before we go.
26.
How good is dog pussy, son? Let's talk about it.
Wait. Let me read his description and shit first. Like the backstory. Philip Samuel Mercon, age 26, was detained early on Saturday morning after a witness said they saw him sexually abusing a dog in their neighbor's yard in Belmaid, Texas. He's a vet.
A vet? Yeah, a military veteran. Ain't that something?
That's what they teaching niggas in fucking Afghanistan. They pull you out the country and be like, okay, all right, guys.
Today you think that's a cause of PTSD?
No, that's a cause of being white. The fuck? Being white comes with lying, stealing, raping,
oh God.
Creating fucking diseases to kill people.
It's like, guys,
all this shit. All this shit. Animal fucking, all BCI, all that.
That's crazy.
So he was detained Saturday morning after sexually abusing a neighbor's dog in Texas, right? He is married with children.
That's not going to... Bro, you think that's going to stand in the way of me getting some dog pussy?
That's what I'm saying.
That's not going to stand in the way. I want my dog God. Pussy and I want it now. Period.
Local police found him. Well, they found him in the backyard.
Did he finish?
The cops came.
Did he finish?
Found him with the dog still. I don't know if he finished. The cops came. Local police found Murkon in the backyard with the dog. Described as being...
Wait. Let me finish. I'm almost done. Let me finish.
Murkon was said to have immediately let the dog go when he saw the police and attempted to run off. But police were able to detain him still.
So that
the dog was given back to its owner with a bloody ass so that they could get care for it. Lieutenant Corey Martin said to the Wacko Tribune.
That dog will never...
I'm joking about the bloody ass thing. But I'm pretty sure it was kind of bloody.
That dog would never be the same.
He's an army veteran charged with bestiality, evading arrest, criminal trespass, all this shit. And you know what? You know, you on top of all this shit, you know what? You know what the fucking outcome was?
What?
He got out on $8,000 bond.
That's fair.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
That's fair, though.
That's fair in the term.
He fucked the dog. He didn't fuck no little girl. He fucked the dog, yeah, B. Yeah, but
Mike Vick served how much years in prison for fighting the dogs? This nigga is actually fucking the dogs.
Yo, man.
So, hey, if you black and you into dog fighting, maybe you should change your...
fighting to fucking.
Yeah, start fucking them dogs. Because they're going to be more lenient on you.
Yeah. You got AK, you good. You good money.
Oh, that's America. Yep. Sweet home Alabama. We gonna kill some niggers. Anything else you want to get?
Nah, man.
All right, let me just hit him with this fact of the week.
Oh yeah.
For this week's fact of the week.
Yeah.
Dark skinned native indigenous to the Western Hemisphere, aka Indians, who embraced the Spanish culture during the colonial era, either by choice or by force, have found themselves engulfed or assimilated into Spanish culture and the Spanish language. Now, most of them lost the knowledge of themselves and their true identity. They have been reclassified as Latino or Hispanic. So,
wow.
Mexico, Guatemala, Panama, El Salvador, all of that was black Indians. Because the indigenous people of the United States were black people, just like Africa.
Mm.
But they show us that fake, you know, distorted image of the Indians.
With the feathers. And
exactly. And
so
that made me...
Those people never existed?
Not like that. Mm. I mean, probably with the intermixing, the offsprings look like that.
Mm.
But
before that, the original
Indians, no,
were African. Yeah.
They were Africans. And what came to my mind after I came across that was the Egyptian pyramids and tombs. All of the pictures and drawings that we see of the Egyptians with them being fair-skinned, those are actually false. They were actually darker. In terms of the hieroglyphic pictures and drawings,
mm-hmm.
They went in with these brushes. I actually heard about it, like an Egyptian talking about it. They went in with these brushes. They used bleach to lighten the tone.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of fucking time on y'all niggas' hands.
Yeah, they whitewash everything, man.
Then they shot up the nose. We already know about the nose being shot up. Claimed that it dropped off after time. So... It would have made more sense probably if the whole head dropped off because the head was protruding off of the Sphinx and all these other, you know, giant fixtures.
Yeah.
But the nose of all things, the nose fell off. But yeah, going back to the fact of the week. So all of these countries and, you know, provinces, states, cultures, nationality, like, these were all black people, and they intermixed with the Spanish. They adopted the Spanish, and they started speaking Spanish. And we're currently
at war. You hear
that,
Dominicans, Puerto Ricans?
We're currently at war in California with, you know, Mexicans. black people. There's Mexican gangs that's, you know, victimizing, killing, and harming black people, telling them to move out of certain neighborhoods. I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
I actually read up on the news article. I didn't bring it up as a, you know, topic, but because I knew I was going to, you know, add it in with this, you know, the fact of the week segment. But yeah, this is, we're actually fighting our fair-skinned brothers. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That is crazy.
That was big. Like, a lot of shit don't surprise me. But when I found out that the Indians were actually black, and this picture that they constantly show us of that feather wearing, not saying that they never wore feathers, but this feather wearing light, like, you know, tan.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't really have, like, African features either.
They do.
No. I'm saying the tan.
Oh, yeah.
The tan skin one. They had, yeah, like they look more like
nose, long hair.
Yeah. Straight hair.
The funny thing about that is there's actually tribes in Africa that you would, like, you can go there and see dark-skinned people with long, straight hair.
Yeah.
Existing in Africa still.
Mm-hmm.
But they claim, you know, all the kinks, all the niggers and the kinks and But there you have it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for listening.
Bang.